Okay, Sheikh. So, Bismillah, you were saying about the principles of understanding the Quran, tafsir.
Yeah, so this is a very important point and it is widely misunderstood. And I'm not exaggerating, and you will be surprised that, in fact, some scholars, or a few of them, misunderstand this point or have a problem with this point. I had a discussion with a scholar who was talking about the tafsir of the Quran, and the Quran is unlimited. You know, these
Yes.
words that, you know, are attractive, that the Quran is unlimited, the Quran is for everyone, the Quran is speaking to the entire humanity. Allah Jalla wa Ala says, Ya ayyuhan nasu, qad ja'atkum maw'idhatun min rabbikum wa shifa'un lima fi sudur. Anyway, to cut it short, the point is, people, including, unfortunately, yeah, and some people might think that I'm exaggerating, but I can give some examples. They are conflating between the meaning of the Quranic text and contemplation over the meaning of the Quranic text. Yeah? Once this is resolved, then the whole thing is resolved. The whole misunderstanding is resolved. And we need to understand that in any language, there is a text. Yeah? For example, I want to go, or please close the door. This is what? This is a text. A text sometimes has a meaning, sometimes has no meaning. In most cases, the text has a meaning. When you say C, Z, X, Y, A, B, this is a text but doesn't have a meaning. This is like a string. But when you put the letters in a particular order, and then you have words, and then you have sentences, then this text has a meaning in any language. So when I say, please open the door, PLEASE, OPEN. So this text now, the text has a meaning, which is what? Yeah? I want the door, which the door is known that closes this room, to be open. Now, this is what the meaning of the text. Now, there is another level, if you want to say another layer, which is putting the text. The meaning of the text into practice, yani the reality of the meaning. Again, so many people are conflating between the reality of the meaning and the meaning. If this is resolved, even many aqidah issues, many furu' of aqidah, minor aqidah issues can be resolved.
I think to understand this better, we need maybe an example.
Okay, I'll give you an example. But just before that, so we have the text, we have the meaning. Imagine a circle for text, and then from the text, a meaning. And from the meaning, two things can come out. Yeah? Reflection over the meaning and the reality of the meaning. Okay, I'll give you an example. When we say Jannah, so the text is Jannah. Okay, this is the text. Or in English, paradise. Okay, I want to go to paradise. Yeah? So this is what Jannah. Now, do we understand the meaning of Jannah or not? We understand.
Yes.
Understanding the meaning is the function of what? Of the aql,
Yes.
of the mind. Now, have we seen the Jannah?
No.
So, we can understand the meaning, although we did not see or touch or smell or lived in the reality of the meaning. Shaitan. We understand the meaning of shaitan. And we might imagine that there is a horrible creature with maybe some of the images that we have seen, yeah, in TV or something, yeah. But in reality, we did not see the shaitan,
mm-hmm.
but we understand the meaning of shaitan.
Yes.
So this is what the reality of shaitan.
Mm-hmm.
So the reality is what is different from the meaning. Al-haqiqa is not the ma'na al-kalam. Al-haqiqa is amrun akhar, is another matter. Okay, now, let us take an example. If I say, Hamza, just take a very simple example. Hamza, please open the door. So now, Hamza, please open the door. This is a string, a text. Because we put it in order, so it has what? What does it have? A meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And you understand the meaning, he understands the meaning. A person who does not speak English does not understand the meaning.
The arrangement of the symbols in a particular way gives us a sound that correlates to a meaning.
Yes, in a particular order.
No.
So we you understand the meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I say, Hamza, please do it. Now I want you to what? To actualize the meaning, which is transform the meaning from an intellectual exercise into what?
A practical experience.
A reality.
A reality.
The haqiqa.
Yes, the haqiqa. Okay.
Yeah? So you will go and open the door.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, if I said to you, Hamza, please open the door, and you started eating this. And they said, Hamza, what are you doing? You are saying to me, I am opening the door. Hamza, Habibi, are you all right? You'll say, I'm all right. I said to you, Hamza, please open the door. He said, I am opening the door. And you are eating the apple. Hamza, yeah, please open the door. I am doing it. Now, what are you doing? You are interpreting the meaning you want, according to what you want. What is it again?
I'm interpreting the meaning according to what I want.
Yes. Is this correct?
No.
Why?
Because I'm going against any of the range of possible meanings of your text, of the wedding.
Excellent. So this issue of, you know, the death of the author, this idea that the author has died, this is a principle that existed maybe in 19 something, yeah, that the death of the author.
Yes.
Yeah? The author died, therefore you interpret his meaning or his writing according to what you want.
It's almost like a postmodern approach to you.
Yes, this is the postmodern approach.
So, Sheikh, just to use your examples, he said Jannah, which is the text, then it has a meaning, then the aql, the function of the aql is to understand the meaning.
Yes.
And then the meaning has a reality.
We can take two things.
Yeah, so the reality and the reflection of the meaning.
Yes.
So the reality in this case is that we cannot know it because we haven't experienced Jannah.
Don't say we cannot know it.
Okay, we cannot.
We, knowing is the function of the
Aql.
Of the Aql.
Okay,
so
good.
We know it.
Yes.
Otherwise, if we cannot know it, why Allah Jalla wa Ala told us?
Agreed.
Jannah, Nar, Shaitan.
Okay, this is brilliant. So therefore, what would we say? We say, we cannot.
No, the reality is the function of the five senses.
Yes.
Yeah? So, the reality is either seen, smelled, touched.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Okay? So, this is the reality. So, Jannah, we did not see it, we did not smell it, we did not touch it, we did not live in it, etc. So, that is the reality. However, not living or touching, or sometimes metaphorically we use not knowing the reality, does not mean that we do not understand the meaning.
So we could therefore say that we know the meaning through the function of the aql, but in knowing the meaning, we may not know the meaning from the perspective of the five senses.
Yeah, no, we might not actualize the reality, sense the reality, touch the reality.
But we can internally reflect upon it.
Now, this is the second thing we can get from the meaning, which is what? Which is contemplation over the meaning.
Yes.
Now, let us continue in the example that I told you. So, Hamza, please open the door.
Mm-hmm.
The meaning is clear. Now, you said you want to interpret it the way you want. So, you start eating the apple. And I said to you, Hamza, you said this is the way I want to interpret it. Common sense that this is madness.
Mm.
Agree or not?
Agreed.
And there will be no language. Because what is the purpose of a language? It's communication.
Communication, yeah. To convey meaning.
Exactly. So if you want to understand the language the way you want, then this defeats the purpose.
So can I ask a question? Because it links to postmodern thought, yeah? So our view of the philosophy of language is that language represents a reality. In postmodern thinking, which is happening now in the academic space, they have a Derrida, the French thinker and philosopher. He says language does not represent reality.
Mm-hmm.
He says it's internal, it's relational.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? What does that imply?
That implies that you could make your own meaning.
Yeah.
And it implies that. So he had this view called phalagocentrism. That it was very male-dominated.
Yeah.
Like the way the language is related. You say the opposite of male is female. Why is female coming second here? That's relational.
Yeah.
And even terms like male and female, they're not connected to an external reality.
Yeah.
Do you see?
Yeah.
We don't agree with that, of course.
Yeah. See, there was an article in BBC.
Mm.
In BBC, written by BBC. So, a young boy asked BBC about liberalism.
Mm.
And it is very strange that the answer was liberalism does not really, I want to be very careful in quoting this, either they say it doesn't exist or it is limited in its existence.
Mm.
Why? Because he said, I'm writing to you now. Can you be liberal in understanding what I wrote to you? Which is, you interpret it the way you want.
Mm.
There has to be what? Rules.
Mm-hmm.
For everything. Even the way I write, there has to be rules. Otherwise, you would not understand.
Well, if you don't have rules for language, you don't have truth.
Don't complicate it.
Yes.
You don't have language.
Yes.
Because the purpose of language is what?
To communicate.
Even one I was explaining this, and a guy, he wants to be smart, and he told me, what about sign language? I said, even sign language has interpretation.
Of course.
Come on. Yeah? He said, but different cultures. I said, different cultures interpreted differently. It doesn't mean that it doesn't have a meaning.
Mm-mm.
Okay? So, anyway, let us just...
Of course. Let's go. Yeah.
So, I said, open the door. So the reality of the correct meaning is to go there next to the door and just open it.
So you actualize
now, the correct meaning. You put it in reality.
Yes. So how do we apply this now to the Quran?
We'll come to that. Okay. Now, because you asked me for an example.
Yes.
Now, if Siraj is sitting, and he said, why did the Sheikh ask him to open the door? Why did he ask him to open the door? then he might say, actually, maybe it is hot. Maybe it is cold. Maybe we don't want to disturb others. Yes?
So this is the reflection aspect.
That is the reflection Allah aspect. Allah,
this is quite deep, actually.
Yeah? I'm telling you, Hamza, but you are not, just you are rushing and you think that because you are a big
yes,
guy.
Yes, no, you're right, you're right. You think that. This is humbling.
Yes. Okay. So, maybe there is another reason. Yeah? Now, the reflection is his exercise, his mental exercise. That can be true, that can be not true.
But he's stuck within the meaning at least.
So...
he's within the rules of the meaning.
That, not the rules of the meaning. There are certain rules for reflection. Not the rules of the meaning.
No, yeah.
Okay? Because you are reflecting over the meaning.
Yes.
So you cannot say, yeah, because Mercedes cars are expensive. So someone will say, what has closing the door with Mercedes cars are expensive, or Trump will win.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. No correlation.
Mm.
But so there are rules. You cannot just get any any reflection.
Mm.
So now we have text, we have meaning, and we have reality of the meaning
and reflection of the meaning.
Over the meaning.
Good.
Yeah. If the meaning, if you get the meaning wrongly, your reflection will be what?
Wrong.
Wrong.
Yes.
Because the base is the text. The meaning sits on the text.
Mm.
And then from, imagine it like a tree. So the trunk of that tree is what? Is the meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And that root is the text.
Yes.
And then the branches.
Yes.
We have two branches. They sit on what? On the meaning. The reflection and what?
Reality.
Reality. If the meaning is wrong, the reality will be wrong, and the reflection will be wrong.
Okay, can I just for education purposes, so I understood what you said. So we have the text, Hamza, open this book and read page 93.
Yeah.
Okay? So that's the text.
Yeah.
In terms of open this book and read page number 93.
Yeah.
And the meaning we understand in our minds, what that actually entails meaningfully, semantically.
Yeah.
Now,
even if you have not done it.
Yes, even if I have not done it, of course. Because I know what that means. I know what that means in my mind. So the function of my aql, the aql functions in a way in my mind to understand that meaning without even approaching the reality.
Exactly. Just so, one quick question.
Of course, yes.
What is the main requirement for understanding the meaning?
You have to...
Of course, apart from being aql.
Yeah, so you have to have an aql, of course. You have to be able to...
The language.
The language. Know the language.
Because if I told you, Hamza, anong bangalan mo?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
What do you mean?
I must be able to add semantics to the symbols, the text. So we have the symbolic arrangements of the letters, text. I have to, through learning language as a child or even as an adult, attach the semantics to the text.
To the
agree.
Text.
And the function of the aql does that.
Yes.
I agree.
So I want to stress
that
language, I want to stress on this point, language is the key element for understanding the meaning.
Yeah, of course, even in philosophy, they say language is so important for reason, so important for so many things.
Because you are more intellectual.
No,
than
I'm not.
Me, you are philosophizing everything.
Okay.
I just make it simple.
Yeah, okay. So, Sheikh, but I want to apply your thing to understand it.
So, now, just a minute.
Yeah.
So, if I say to you in a language, if I say to you anything in a language that you do not understand, you will not understand the meaning.
100%.
But that doesn't mean that whatever I mentioned, like Anong Bangalamo,
has no meaning.
Has no meaning.
Okay, excellent.
Okay?
Excellent.
And the key element to understand the meaning is the language.
Language, okay.
And the correct language.
Yes.
because we said the language. Yeah?
Okay.
Yes.
So, we have the text. Hamza opened this book and read page 93. Now, I know the meaning, as we just discussed. Now, the reality of the meaning now is when I go to page 93...
And start reading.
And, for example, I start reading. That they confused him with Jesus and killed him. The verse is interpreted.
Okay, so you are now...
And I'm reading it now.
What are you doing? You are actualizing the meaning.
So this is the reality of the meaning.
The haqiqa.
The haqiqa. Okay, good.
Is different from the meaning.
The meaning, good.
And if we want... Okay, so this is the haqiqa. Now...
But I want to talk about the reflection now. So I have understood what you're saying. So the reflection is... Why did Sheikh ask me to read page 93?
Exactly.
What is the intention behind Sheikh Haytham asking me to read page 93?
Page number of this book.
Of this book. What lessons does he want me to derive from reading page number to page 93?
Before we go to that, someone is saying why he asked him to read page number 93. Mm. Someone might say he's testing him.
Yes.
Someone might say, well, in page number 93, there is a picture. He wants him to see the picture.
Yes, yes.
Or maybe there is a lesson in page 93 he wants to read.
Yes, so all of these...
Or maybe the sheikh, he could not understand something on page number 93. No. So, what I want to say is
and those are valid interpretations.
Aha. Yes. So, there is a variety.
A scope.
An array of what? Of interpretations that are taken from what? From the meaning. Or the reality.
No.
But even that, although there is an array or there is different possibilities, yeah. Number one, there are possibilities that cannot be seen as possibilities.
Yes.
So if someone says, like what we said, because Mercedes cars are not good, someone will say, what has this to do with this? So that reflection is wrong.
Yes.
Not any reflection on any meaning is correct.
Yes, of course.
Clear?
So we could never say, Sheikh Haytham asked Hamza to read page 93 in order for him to lose 10 kilos or for him have some kind of biological nutrition.
Or build muscle.
Yeah, is it disconnect? Total disconnect. Okay, good.
Okay. So this is... wrong.
So we got the framework now.
Just a minute.
I'm really excited about applying this to the
second
Quran now.
The second point. Is there a correct interpretation? Who knows the correct interpretation? The correct reason, the correct reflection. The author.
Yes.
Yeah.
But if the author hasn't given it to you, then are valid.
Those are valid.
Yes.
Done. Okay, now let us come to the Quran.
Alhamdulillah.
Okay, now, Allah revealed the Quran in an Arabic text.
Mm-hmm.
Only Arabic text? No, Allah Jalla Ala revealed the Quran, kalam. فَأَبْلِغْهُ حَتَّى وَإِنْ أَحَدُ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ سَجَارَكَ فَأَجِرْهُ حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ. So the kalam is a text that has a meaning. So the Quran has a meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what is the key tool to understand the meaning of the Quran?
The classical Arabic.
Aha. First of all, can we understand Quran according to English grammar?
No.
Madness.
Mm-hmm.
It's not in English. Second thing, do we understand Quran according to which Arabic language, the modern Arabic language or the classical Arabic language that Allah Jalla wa Ala used to address the people?
Yeah, classical Arabic.
Classical Arabic language. Classical Arabic language has rules and regulations, grammar.
Yes.
Yeah? And something else. So, this means that the Quran can only be understood according to what? The classical Arabic language. Therefore, this claim by some modernists that the Quran can be interpreted the way we want is just false, is nonsense.
Yeah, because what they're doing is they are reading into the text. They're giving they're imposing a meaning into the text that may not exist.
Exactly.
It's like then, an eisegesis, not exegesis, eisegesis. You're reading into the text.
Exactly. Then I said once, so what's the point of the Quran?
Yes.
The Quran is what? A message from Allah to us. Yes? Okay. How, if you are saying, if you are using this, then the Quran is not message from Allah to us. Astaghfirullah. No need for the Quran. But what's the point of the Quran?
Usually, Sheikh, it's a message of their ideology to everybody else.
Exactly.
They're using the Quran as a vehicle for their ideology.
Exactly.
Yes.
So there is no, if we are going to understand the Quran not according to what Allah wants, there is no point of the Quran.
100%.
Yes.
So,
This is one thing.
Good.
Now, if the Quran, linguistically, there are certain verses linguistically can handle more than one meaning.
Yes.
Yeah? We are not talking about what? Reflection.
Mm-hmm.
Can handle more than one meaning.
Yes.
First of all, the first condition of a correct meaning is it has to fit what? Within the classical Arabic grammar and rules and regulations.
Yes.
The second thing, yeah, we need to check with the author if this meaning that we understood from the Quran is what?
Valid.
Is valid.
Yes.
Because if sometimes, the meaning of any text has, there are a few multiple meanings of any text, who decides the correct meaning of that text?
Yeah, the author.
The author. So we need to check with the author. Here we need to, يعني استغفرالله, we cannot say we need to check with Allah. We need to refer to Allah
and His Messenger.
And exactly.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
And because the companions, they are the first generation to receive from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and maybe the second generation, the tabi'in. So in order, once there are more than linguistic meaning, this is the summary of usul al-tafsir. Key number one, we understand Quran according to Arabic classical Arabic language. This is the summary of all usul al-tafsir, by the way. We understand the Quran according to the classical Arabic language. Number two, once there is more than one classical Arabic meaning of the Quran, we need to check with the Quran itself, with the messenger, with the first generation of the companions to ensure that this is the right meaning. In fact, we say, instead of just go and understand the Arabic language, we need, first of all, out of adab, do both the same time. The language and what Allah says about what He said in somewhere else, because it might be explained, what He said in one place might be explained in another place. Yes. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam statement, like when he explained what does إِنَّ الصَّفَا وَالْمَرْوَةَ مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ فَمَنْ حَجَّ الْبَيْتَ وَاعْتَمَرَ فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِ أَلَّا يَطَّوَّفَ بِهِمَا. He explicitly said this is the meaning, or with the companions. Yeah? See, these are the meanings of the Quran.
So I have a question.
Yes.
So in order to understand the meaning of the Quran, you have to have access to the classical Arabic. You have to check with the author, which means understanding the Quran within the Quran, because that's obviously a principle, and checking with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the companions. Now, if a particular meaning in the Quran, there is nothing explicit from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is nothing that we can derive definitely from the Quran itself, and we do not have anything from the companions, then is it the case that we just rely on the valid layers of meaning we find in the classical dictionaries?
And this is impossible, what you mentioned.
Okay, explain.
Yeah? Okay. Why it is impossible? logically, why it is impossible?
Well, it's not impossible. It's impossible if you divorce the meaning, if you divorce the class. I don't know. Explain.
No. Think about it. It means that the Quran was revealed. Neither the Prophet ﷺ explained it to us, nor the Sahaba understood it. And it remained for a period of time unknown. The meaning is unknown.
No, it was known to them, but we haven't got access to what they've said about what they knew.
Okay, there's this means that Allah Jalla Ala did not preserve the Quran.
No, it means that in order to understand that particular meaning, you have to you're allowed to look into the range of meaning in the classical Arabic. No,
before that.
Yes.
Can we imagine that, okay, now the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam received the Quran. No. Did the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam understand the meaning of it or not?
Of course.
Did the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam convey the meaning to the Sahaba or not?
Yes.
Okay. Was there anything from the Quran the Sahaba did not understand?
Well, yeah, then they would ask the person for clarification.
So there is nothing from the Quran that was not understood by the Sahaba.
Agreed? Yes.
And the scholar said because the first generation, they have a certain status, and the Prophet ﷺ said, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَوْمِ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. The best of people is my people, and then the people after them. The scholar said, like the Sahaba is their students, the Tabi'in.
The Tabi'in, okay.
Yeah? So it is impossible that you find anything in the Quran that the meaning of it is not clarified either in the Hadith, in the Quran, nor in the Hadith, nor in the explanation of the first or second generation. Impossible.
Okay, this is interesting. So this is
impossible.
But this is something that is not actually well known.
No, this is because see. Just, okay, common sense. If it is, the third generation or the fourth generation, مثلاً, like the generation of Imam Ahmed, he died 241.
Mm-mm.
Do you think, مثلاً, the scholars at that period of time did not understand anything from the Quran and they kept quiet?
No, they
impossible.
Impossible, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Impossible. Okay. The Ummah, in general, we're not talking about it. We are talking about the Ummah. And they do not understand the meaning of it. And the Prophet ﷺ did not explain it. The Sahaba, did not understand the meaning. And they kept quiet. And the third generation, the Tabi'in, also kept quiet. Impossible.
Okay, that makes sense. So maybe I'm going to rephrase the point. This is very good clarification. So it is well known because we have access to the classical Arabic grammar, we have access to the Hadith literature, yeah. We have access to the statements of the Sahaba, we have access to the early generations, the Tabi'in,
yeah.
And maybe a generation after.
Yeah.
As a kind of body of living knowledge, if you like, within that body of knowledge, the Quran in its entirety is known.
Yes.
Good. I agree.
Yeah, the meanings.
The meanings. So this. So maybe I should have rephrased my question better. If we have an inability to understand the reality of the meaning,
uh-huh.
Yeah, we can go back to the language and see the different layers of meaning.
No.
To okay. help us understand the reality.
No, because we said that the reality is connected to the meaning, but it is not the meaning.
Agreed.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay? So, the language gives us the meaning.
Okay. Can, let me refer to an example then.
Yeah.
A Quranic example. So, in Surah Mu'minun, chapter 23, around verse 16 onwards. Allah mentions the formation of the human being.
Yes.
And just take one. Just one word.
Yeah.
Alaqa.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, the word alaqa is known.
Yeah.
In the classical Arabic, there's about five major meanings.
Yeah.
Something that clings, blood that...
Yeah.
Blood in a general sense, a blood clot, a leech or a worm.
Yeah.
And you can find this in the classical dictionary.
Yeah.
Okay? There's about five meanings.
Mm-hmm.
We're saying those meanings were known amongst the Sahaba, or at least one of the meanings were known amongst the Sahaba and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Correct?
Allahumma salli wa sallam alayhi. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so the meaning was known. Now, according to what you've just said, does that now require necessarily that we have a statement from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the Sahaba or the Tabi'een saying what it means?
Yeah, so either the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explicitly, okay,
yeah,
said to the Sahaba that alaqa means this.
Or there's an implicit.
Or there is an implicit.
Okay, good. Or it's understood by the Sahaba and the Tabi'een in some sense.
Or he understood that they understood it because this is a basic Arabic language.
Good. Okay, this is where I'm going.
Yeah? So there is no hadith that says Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen means this. Why? Because the Sahaba knows that the Prophet knows that the Sahaba understood it.
Yes.
Because this is a basic Arabic language.
It's known.
Yeah.
So, good. So, it's better clarity. So, we can say, therefore, the Sahaba and the Prophet, because we may not have a direct explicit statement about alaqa, that it is the meaning that we know of that exists in the classical Arabic language.
Exactly. The meaning, once we say the apparent meaning.
The apparent meaning.
Is not something hidden.
Of course.
Because if it is hidden, the Prophet ﷺ would explain it.
Absolutely.
So if someone were to say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen means something else.
Perfect.
We'd say, no, Habibi.
Perfect.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, it means what it means. Okay. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ did not explain it, because it is a simple, perfect, basic Arabic language and the companions understood it like this.
So we have those five meanings, which were known by the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba and the Tabi'in, by virtue of the classical Arabic language. So that's the meaning. So what we do now is, now the reality of the meaning means that we have to experience something with the five senses or actualize it with the five senses.
Yeah, the reality.
The reality, good. Now we may get the reality wrong. There's a possibility that we may not be able to use the meaning in such a right way to understand, to actualize the reality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And also the reflection of the meaning.
Yeah.
We can get an interpretation wrong or right, but as long as we base it on the meaning.
Yes.
But therefore, and this is exactly what I need for my own academic work, therefore we can say, you cannot say your reflection is 100% correct and the only one.
Yes, of course.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah. Of course.
But
unless maybe sometimes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarified the reflection.
Yes, of course.
Or there is an ijma' from the Sahaba that this what implies.
Okay, great.
Other than that, no, you cannot. So, but there is also a framework for the reflection. You cannot, as we said, you cannot just mention a reflection that is not related to the meaning.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. Because you said it has to be tied to the meaning. So, the reflection. Now, in this instance, because this meaning, alaqa, is referring to an external reality, right?
Mm-hmm.
There is a connection between the reflection and the external reality.
Of course,
as well.
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
now one can say the alaqa, مثلاً, okay, is a stone outside, or your eye.
Yes.
No, because the meaning does not support that.
Okay. Now, if, for example, we find in reality something that directly correlates to the meaning, for example, say alaqa means blood clot in a general sense, right? A blood clot as part of one of the meanings in the classical Arabic.
Yeah.
And we see that during the human development, it looks like a blood clot.
Yeah.
Can we still say that it is... The reality that the meaning is referring to?
Why do we need to say this is, wallahi, this is the reality?
But the reason I'm suggesting we can't is because we're relying on those five, the scope of meaning. So that would mean you're assuming that layer of meaning is the intended meaning. We can't say this.
Agree.
Alhamdulillah, Zakhra.
Agree.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
But don't say five layers of meaning. Five different meanings.
Five different meanings. Possibly. Yes. This is brilliant. Jazakallah khair, Shaykh. May Allah bless you with Jannah to
the best. Ameen. Jazakallah khair.
Very helpful. Yeah. It will be helpful for other people as well.
Yeah, very helpful. Very, very. I'm telling you, many scholars, when I explained it recently, one of the scholars, I don't want to mention to him, over the phone, and he was, I summarized it and I sent it to him. He said, yeah.
Okay, so as my...
Because the issue is Allah Jalla wa Ala says, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ. So the Qur'an is for everyone.
Yeah,
the reflection of the Qur'an, of the meanings of the Qur'an, the reflection of the correct meanings of the Qur'an is for everyone. Within a framework, again.
So,
but not the meaning of the Qur'an is for everyone. Because we said, come on, we said the meaning is taken from
the Arabic language,
the classical Arabic
this
language.
Is why we have to respect the tafsir tradition,
exactly.
The ulama,
we
the classical scholars.
We cannot go against it.
Yes, and that's why in the rules of tadabbur, which you've taught us another time, is that you cannot change the meaning.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. So, Sheikh, on a final point, I'm going to type this out and send it to you and check it for me, yeah, for my own notes.
Yes, inshallah. Yeah. And there is another discussion which is related to some matters in Aqeedah, which is how you interpret the Asma wa Sifat, etc., and the relationship.
That's for another video.
Maybe another time, inshallah.
And
also, I would like to say that even if we accept a different meaning than the classical meanings, this can be just only in very few verses, not the entire Quran. Otherwise, will be seen that we did not understand the Quran.
Yes, and that
provided that it fits within Arabic language,
okay.
And that classical scholars accepted it as a meaning. Yeah? So there are certain conditions, because I don't want anyone to listen to this and they say no. But the scholars accepted some, very few ayat. Yeah, they accepted certain Arabic.
Yeah, but this discussion meaning. Was a kind of. You know, primary discussion. The other nuances and objections we could address in another
video,
inshallah.
Exactly, which is very, very limited.
Okay. Jazakallah khair, Shaykh.
Barakallah.
Salaam alaikum.
Jazakallah khair, Shaykh. Jazakallah khair, brothers and sisters, for watching. If you like this podcast, give a like and a share.
Was this a podcast?
This is me. This is for my channel.
Yeah.
Oh.
If you think Hamza's a better host than me, then let us know in the comments below.
May Allah bless you. May Allah bless you.
Follow Hamza's channel. Follow Islam Trends.
Jazakallah khair.
Follow Salman Bhatt channel, whatever.
That was initially, it was a casual discussion, but Dr. Salman is always making use of these casual discussions.
No, it's important because I need this for my PhD.
No. Many people need it, and they misunderstand it.
Sakhla Hishaf. Madam Allah. Salam to Allah.